today on Real Radio.
Fill in the blank. Jesus Christ died for all manner of sins, says the Bible. Neither death nor life shall be able to separate you from the love of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message titled The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 3. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter's writing to Christians who are learning how to live out their faith in a whole new world. They faced incredible opposition. Suffering and sorrow awaited them. Doesn't it sound a lot like today? Now, as we reach the end of chapter 2, we see how Peter changes his focus from suffering and discouragement to our behavior as Christians. We are called to obey Christ in humbleness and to submit to those God has put over us. God always has a plan, that's the truth, and everything belongs to Him. God put leaders over us for our learning, and those who rule over us are in His hands, not ours. So today on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God is just. He will settle the score in the end. God sent His Son Jesus Christ to bear our sins with His own body at the cross. Only Jesus Himself could do that, and only Jesus Himself can redeem us from the curse of the law, a law that has no grace and cannot sacrifice itself in our place. And now in his message called The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Jesus, when He was reviled, think of it. This is our example. What did He do? He didn't revile in return. Can you imagine? When Jesus was getting beaten there in Jerusalem and His back was being laid open, people were spitting on Him, the guards were smacking Him in the face, the Bible says, with open palmed hands. That hurts. It's worse than a punch, is to get slapped like this. You can break someone's neck with a slap. Did you know that? Jesus didn't say a thing. The example that He gives us is to not revile. Now watch, we're going to land somewhere here in a moment. Jesus didn't revile back. Jesus could have been 100% justified. Jesus could have said, you know what? The guy that just hit me, I am the I am, and you're not. And that guy could have been vaporized right then on the spot. Did you know that? He could have done it. And the angels would have said, right on. Good shot, Jesus. He would have been justified. He didn't do it. See, you and I, we have this temptation to defend ourselves. Listen, a wise man said a long time ago, do not defend yourself. Let God defend you. Because if you defend yourself, God will let you. Let God defend you. Let God defend you. Jesus didn't revile. That's our example. And when He suffered, He did not threaten. From the cross, Jesus, let's test your Bible knowledge. From the cross, Jesus said, Father, fry them, for they know exactly what they do. No, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That, by the way, is a display of deity. Jesus, the Bible teaches us to be like that. And then He goes on to say that He committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. There's the answer, church. You and I as believers, look at the stuff that's going on in your life. Look at the things, and here's the danger. You and I see the things coming against us as too natural. It's too common. You see, Pastor, I understand where you're going, but you don't understand what's going on in my life. My brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, my kid, my this, that. Oh, we've got this thing going on. There's this war going on, or this neighbor, and it's a very ugly, heated thing. Do you see the temptation? It's so natural to us that it's somehow outside the scope of Bible. And this is exactly the point. Those of us who are going through some dynamic, this is ordained of God Himself. Don't view it as something common. View it as something that God is at work in. But I've got this horrible thing going on in my marriage. God's at work. Don't lose sight of that. Jesus, who was God in flesh, committed everything to the trust of his Father. He showed us how to trust the Father. My question today is, do we trust God? Do we really trust God? Our community's been rocked. Young people, as I said earlier, are saying, I don't know if I should live anymore. Listen, we've heard people say, I'm going to take the easy way out. That's not the easy way out. When the enemy comes and lies and says, it's better to be dead than to live. That's the lie of Satan himself. He's a murderer, Jesus said, from the beginning. If you are in a place of hopelessness, listen, reach out, get a hold of us, contact the church, call the 1-800 hotline in America that's nationwide. Do something, but don't isolate yourself and don't listen to that dark voice that sounds so seductive, so smooth, so slick in speaking to you. Don't do it. As a Christian, as a slave, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, we don't have the authority to make decisions like that. There's a world out there that says they have their justice. No, it's absolute injustice. God has his justice. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying or given a free pass to self-murder. But it is possible for a Christian to battle with mental illness or emotional issues or to lose sight and to sink into a pit of despair. And I addressed this on Wednesday night. Jeremiah, Moses, Elijah, Paul, even Jesus himself said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And for some people of a particular man-made theology to say, oh, we condemn him, is to not know the word of God. Fill in the blank. Jesus Christ died for all manner of sins, says the Bible. Neither death nor life shall be able to separate you from the love of God. Is committing suicide a sin? Yes, but it's not a sin that separates a child of God from the Father. Jesus died for all manner of sin. Think it through. Nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul says, shall height or width, depth, things created, angels, demons? He says, I'm convinced that no created thing, that includes me, that includes you, shall be able to separate us from the love of God. I knew of a man back in Costa Mesa in the days that I attended there, Lisa and I attended there, and a man, a godly man, began to act strange over time, over months. Then he began to cuss. He began to be weird. People began to say, well, you know, the guy must have never been saved. Then the guy wound up committing suicide. Then there's an autopsy, and they found out that he had a massive tumor in his brain that was causing all of that to happen. You think Jesus' blood was somehow compromised by that? I rebuke any theology that announces such a godless thing. And in the same token, listen, don't give up. Call out to help. Find somebody, but listen, don't do this alone. And here's some good hope. Not only did Jesus, as Peter is talking about, commit himself to he who judges righteously. God is just. He'll settle the score in the end. Look at the third and final argument in verses 24 and 25, that Jesus liberates us from self-righteousness, from self, by declaring he himself. This is amazing. Theologically, we could spend seriously months on this. Look at verse 24. It says, who himself, circle the word himself. This is a definite pronoun meaning in the Greek language, Jesus, nobody else could, only him, nobody else can do what he did. Notice, it means past tense. It means he did something, never to be repeated. What is it? He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, on the cross. Everybody listen. Are you trusting what Jesus did at the cross to get you into heaven? If today, listen, I lovingly warn you, I lovingly beg you, what would Paul say? I beseech you. If today, in your mind, in your theology, in your head, you're saying, yeah, I believe the gospel. I'm being as good as I can. And, everyone does bad stuff, but my good stuff's more than my bad stuff. I believe Jesus died for my sins. And so, listen, dear friend, you're messed up. You're messed up and you're quite possibly lost. Because you're saying Jesus died for your sins, but you're helping him out because you equate any performance on your part, good works, as somehow helping your salvation experience. You can't do it. He died for our sins and he paid the price. He bore. The word means to be, actually, it's crazy. I was going to show you a picture, but maybe you have it in your mind better. Have you ever seen Olympian weightlifters? Those guys pick up that massive barbell and it's behind their neck and they're going to do a squat or a deadlift or whatever it is. And do you see the veins coming out just below their eyes and their head? See that picture in your mind? That's the picture of the word bore. Jesus, look, Jesus was the one who carried your sin and mine, everybody in this room. Think about it, almost 3,000 people in this room. This is just second service. All of the sins represented in this room, your sins, past, present, and future, Jesus carried. He's burying them in his own body, not somebody else's body. Ooh, listen, hang on to your seats. There is no such thing as anyone as a co-redeemer with Jesus. He did it alone at the cross, and he carried my sin. He did it. He's the one who did that for us. And the Bible announces to us that in him doing that, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The reference to tree is an Old Testament reference. The Bible says, by the way, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, we're almost done. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Do you know how the law is occurring? Isn't the law amazing?
Yes.
Isn't it holy?
Yes.
Isn't God's law pure? Yeah. That's the problem. It's so pure. It's so perfect. It's holy. But it's stone. It can't save you. The law has no grace. The law has no sacrifice. Dear friend, if you're tempted in your self-righteousness, keep this in mind. You've got to live up to the perfect demand of the law. And the law has no heart. It has no voice. It has no gentle reach. It has no compassion. The law stands there like this and says, the world is condemned. This is the perfect law of God. This is the standard that God accepts into heaven. This is what you must be. And God tells Moses, and the day that people break that law, provide for them an animal and its blood of innocence. The gospel was announced in the beginning. You cannot get to heaven by keeping the law or your own self-righteousness. Jesus bore Jack's sins in his own body at the cross. So curses, the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13 goes on to say, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He lifts that from the Old Testament, Paul does to the Galatians. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. I love this, that Jesus, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he, that is Jesus, taking it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. What does that mean? Watch, remember growing up in school? I guess, I don't know. I don't know how, what the age group is in here, but look, when I went to school, if you messed up at the schools I went to, you got smacked. I can't tell you how many times I got whacked on the bottom, how many times the principal had to deal with me. I can't tell you how many times Mr. Baranian used to smack my knuckles with a wooden ruler. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a public school in Orange County here. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Can I have an amen? Amen? Let me tell you something. You know what? There was no murder in those days in school. There was not even chewing gum in those days. One of the things that we had to do if we goofed up was to write it on the board. I will not dip Susie's ponytail in my lunch. Write that 100 times. So the teacher goes on to teach the class and you're over there writing this. Remember that? Anybody remember that? Okay. The Bible says this about that scripture verse in Colossians. I sinned when I fill in the blank. Are you with me? Next line, next line. The Bible says there is a massive list. Hey, listen, God has got a hard drive. God has got a cloud in heaven of all your sins if you're not a Christian. And the Holy Spirit, to show you your need of Jesus, will download from the cloud your sins into your memory. And he will say, what are you going to do about that one? What are you going to do about this one? Oh, and what are you going to do about that one over there? And the Bible says all of these things are written against us. But the Bible says at the cross, listen, at the cross, Jesus wiped them away. So how do I get them wiped away? It's very expensive. It's very expensive. You have to have blood. Only blood can erase that. It has to be blood, but not just anyone's blood. It has to be the blood of God. It has to be God's blood. And there's only one deal in town. There's only one deal in the universe, and it's Jesus. You see, that's why Christianity is not a religion. I mean, you know, you all hear the news, oh, you know, the three great religions of the world. I'm always offended by that. There's two religions in the world and one relationship. Let's understand that right now. And so the Bible goes on and ends here. It says, watch this. It says, by whose stripes we are healed. This is a shocker. Listen up, everybody. By whose stripes we are healed. You all know that verse because you've seen Christian TV that says, I'm not sick anymore. I've been healed by his stripes. I'm not sick anymore. Did you know technically that has nothing to do with physical healing? Look, of course God heals. Don't get me wrong. But Peter, who's a Jew, born again, who knows his Old Testament, goes to Isaiah chapter 53 by the Holy Spirit and applies that scripture verse to the fact that Jesus healed us from sin. By whose stripe, by his beatings, we were healed from sin's curse and possession of us. Is that awesome? And it gets better as we end. Look what he says here. He says, for us were like sheep going astray. Does not the Bible know us? In other words, we're prone to wander off, but have now returned. The word is actually turned. We're turning to face him, who? The shepherd and overseer of our souls. The shepherd and overseer of our souls. You guys, I want to read this to you. Think of this in your mind's eye. Jesus is the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. In the Old Testament, the sheep had to die for the people, right? In the New Testament, the shepherd dies for the sheep, for the people. Watch this. I quote, the shepherds of the East, Middle East, and his flock of sheep were nothing like that of what comes to our minds in the West. In Israel, there was no velvet green rolling hills for the sheep to graze leisurely upon or at their desire. The hills of Judea were rugged and stair-stepped, which they are to this day, by the way. Grass was sparse, and the cliffs and caves made up the landscape in all directions. The shepherds of the day were haggard and tired-looking men, lean, well-armed, sun-bleached, and sleepless. They defended the flock from without and from within, as the sheep were prone to wander off into harm, ignorantly falling off a cliff or into a pit. Ever present was the danger of wild beasts that would follow the flock, sometimes days on end, waiting for an opportunity. A hyena or a wild pack of dogs would suddenly and without warning seize away a lamb or two, and that sometimes piece by piece. The shepherds of the Middle East, they're scarred, haggard looking. And isn't it amazing? Listen, those of you who think you're worth nothing, that the God of the universe came and displayed himself to us as a shepherd to tend to your life. And I end with this. The 23rd Psalm, most famous, beloved psalm of all. Guess what the 23rd Psalm is not about? It's not about David, and it's not about sheep. The 23rd Psalm is about the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Don't you want that? He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's all about him, Christian. It's all about him. You do not need to live your life in bondage, but you need to lean upon the ever-present Jesus Christ, who saves us from all sin, if you just ask him. Father, we thank you for your truth. We praise you for your word to us. And God, we pray that you would take this saving message of the gospel, that in my place, as the atoning power of God for the world, Jesus Christ died for my sins and for the sins of mankind. Yet, only those who put their trust in him will benefit from his great expense. So, Father, I pray that there'd be hearts now saying, Jesus, come into my life and save me here and now. Wash me of my sins. Remove, Lord, my loneliness and my decay and my darkness. God, in this hour of desperation, I call out to you. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I look to you, and I'm asking you to save me. Friend, do that today. Do that today, and you will forever live to praise him for it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 3. We're so glad you joined us today, and let Jesus lead you towards his scriptures. They'll brighten your day, that's the truth, and they'll guide you towards victory when all seems lost. The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Real Radio, and I want to give you another reason to vote, and that is religious freedom. You know, in America, that's a topic that we've not thought about much because we've enjoyed it so much. But all of a sudden, the certain powers that are in play, they would snuff out our religious freedoms and opportunities, Christian radio, Christian broadcasting, what we can say from the pulpits. Listen, that would all come under threat if this election goes in a certain direction. And I want to have you consider this, that President Trump has stood for religious freedom like no other president in modern history. So I'm encouraging you to vote in this election to defend religious freedoms. So join me, because it's time to pray, vote, and stand.
Where is America headed? If the radical left has their way, it will be socialism, keeping you, your family, and your God locked up. Now, a documentary, After Trump, A Warning to America. This must-see film is now on demand, featuring interviews with Mike Huckabee, Jack Hibbs, Franklin Graham, Eric Metaxas, Alveda King, and Dennis Prager. It's time to rescue our America. Go to jackhibbs.com/aftertrump. View on demand, or get your own DVD copy to view and share with a friend for your gift of any amount. jackhibbs.com/aftertrump. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.